talk about the blood. We read about the blood. But when you picture a life that's gone on to be with Jesus, the blood becomes a reality. Because it's by the blood of Jesus that today Bob has that reality. It's by the blood of Jesus that those you've lost, mom, dad, children, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's by that blood that they have been born again. So that verse really got me. The part where it says, he saved my life. God has had a plan in place for 2,000 years to save our lives. And he changes us. Bob's heart was changed by the power of God. Doesn't mean he was perfect. We're not going to knight him as a saint in the sainthood. But he sure was a child of God. And Rodney brought up a good point. He said that many times in his church. He said when he got saved, it was like the blinders came off. And for the first time, he could see clearly. See, sin puts scales in our eyes. Sin blinds us from seeing the reality of who God is and what God did. Another man had a hard heart. We're going to read about this morning in Acts. And if you know your Bible very well, you already know which man we're going to talk about. But there was a man that was very hardened by the world. He hated Christians. He hated Christ. He hated the message. But God changed his heart of stone. And he can change your heart. The reason we're here, church, the only reason we're here, is that hearts and lives are changed. It's the only reason. Because I just want people to understand a true pastor's heart or any true ministry is here for one purpose. It's not for self-employment. It's not for popularity. It shouldn't be. It's not for self-gain. It's for helping others get into the kingdom. Period. And I'm so thankful that God has birthed this ministry of 13 years now. Wow, we're entering our teenage years. That should be interesting. Ooh. Going to have to hold on tight to this thing for the next 6 or 7 years, huh? But I think about how that fire department drew this big, burly mechanic. Tell you a little bit about Bob. And I'm not doing a eulogy this morning, but I do want to tell you this because Bob had a very hard past. Bob grew up in an orphanage. A lot of you may not realize that. He grew up in an orphanage. He had no mom and dad in his life. And so when he first came, and if you know Melanie, Melanie's a hugger. And if you don't like that, then just get over it. That's all I'm going to say. That's what she is. She's a hugger. The reason Melanie's a hugger, it's not she's coming on to you. When she hugs me, she's coming on to me, but that's it. When she hugs you, she's not coming on to you. She's hugging you because that's who she is. Melanie has a lot of love to give out. And Melanie could relate to Bob's past a little bit. Though Melanie wasn't an orphan, Melanie had many challenges as a child. And Bob says that when Melanie hugged her, I mean, Bob was kind of a scary guy if you didn't know him. If you met him at night, you may not go down the same side of the sidewalk. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because you didn't, I mean, he was an intimidating looking guy. And he was tough. He talked tough. He raced go-karts. He was a mechanic. He had grease on his fingers. He could lift a transmission with one single bound. He was a man's man, I'm just telling you. But Melanie would hug him, and he said that is one of the first things that really drew him, says, she showed me love I didn't get as a child. I didn't get that kind of love. Then he started seeing how we all loved him, and he heard the message. And Rodney's right, this big tough, and Chuck's right, I think he said, this big tough exterior guy melted away in the presence of God. Love changes this church. We don't have to pretend with God. We can be, I'm going to tell you something, it's a lot harder to carry that chip of manliness or that chip of pride or that chip of I can't let anybody in my little circle because I've been hurt so many times, so I'm going to block you out. Whenever we stop doing the blocking out and start letting God come in, we start getting healed. Things change. Let's read about a man named Saul. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Saul was consenting unto his death. Talking about Stephen. Stephen had just been stoned to death just because of the gospel. Only reason. He committed no crime. He preached Jesus and they stoned him. And the Bible says Saul was consenting to his death, which means he was a part of it. He aided it. He helped it. He endorsed it. He approved of it. And there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. They grieved his death. But Saul, verse 3 says, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women and committing them to prison. I mean, I want you to think about this. This is something we would think about happening today more than yesterday. This is something we see in the Middle East. I mean, it was the Middle East. But think about this. I mean, who would have thought 2,000 years ago this would be happening? Here's a man that hated Christians so much, and more importantly, hated the message it brought. Why was he so hateful against the message? Why are so many people against love on the outside? Because they realize if they let love on the inside, it's going to take the bulldog look off their face and make them a little German Shepherd puppy. That's what's going to happen. It's going to change them. Because love changes us. You know, they say behind every good man is a good woman, right? Has your wife not helped change you for the good in most cases? My wife has. My wife has made me a lot better person than I was. That's what a good wife, a good woman does. It makes you better. See, the love of Christ makes us better too. A lot better than what we were before. Why is Paul so angry, I wonder, or Saul at this point? Why is he so mad? Why is he so, and I find this many times in life. The ones that seem the most rebellious are just like Saul. They're kicking. And we'll talk about kicking against the pricks, what that means. It's a very odd terminology. We'll explain what that really means. He's kicking against the pricks. You know what? He's going against what he was called to be. How many times do we fight what we're called to be? Jimmy Stewart fought at Wonderful Life, right? That great movie, Wonderful Life. He wanted to see the world. He wanted to get out of that little town. But he couldn't. He couldn't escape his prison because that's where he was supposed to be. And he couldn't get away from what God had called him to be in that situation. God's called his people, and he's speaking to our hearts. But if our hearts are so hardened, yes, we can silence him out. We cannot listen to God. That's your choice. God gave us free will. Just like your kids don't listen to you when you tell them what to do. They can do what they want, and they see, hey, you know what? Dad and mom are pretty smart when they get a little bit older. They were pretty smart. They were clueless when I was 13. They were pretty smart by the time I got in my 20s. They knew. God knows, too. And he calls our heart. Paul is going and taking people and throwing them in prison just because of the message of Jesus. He's a mean, bad man. How could God possibly use a man like this? Turn to the next chapter. Chapter 9, verse 1. So Saul's this bad guy. He's hauling people off, but God's got a plan for Saul's life. What a beautiful story conversion. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Slaughter, that's not a good word. Slaughter. Against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And he asked of him, desired of him, letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he may, if he find any of this way, talking about the Christ way, the Jesus way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He is so scuzzy and skeezy and low-schemed. He's going to the authorities of his country saying, give me permission to go arrest anybody and bring them back in chains and shackles and throw them in prison. Give me that permission. Will you? Sure. Here's authorization. I mean, not only was he persecuting the ones around him, he was going out of his way to do it. I mean, it wasn't on the path that he was traveling. I'm going out of my way to do something to arrest and be mean to these people. He was fighting the message of Christ. He was fighting it. His heart was so hardened. His heart was so bitter. I understand, church. I get it. I understand. You've had a hard past, a hard life. You can blame someone to your grave, but it won't bring healing. You can be mad until you spit, but it won't bring healing. The only thing that brings healing is allowing the love of Christ to come in and transform your heart and take that heart that's been so hurt and let healing. You know, some folks don't want to be healed. They like their misery. They want their misery. And you can't help nobody like that. They want to be mad at the world. They want a reason to be mad. And when they really think about it, what reason have we, any of us, had to be mad anymore? Jesus came took 39 stripes with a leather whip, with bone in his flesh, ripping it out 39 times till he looked like raw meat upon a cross. The earth grew dark for 3 hours as he suffered for all of our hurts, all of our past, all of our stuff that we can't let go of. The Bible says he paid that price. He bore our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are, not will be, not can be, we are healed. Healed by what Jesus did. Right now, church, you are healed because Jesus paid that price for you. So hang on to that anger all you want, but the only one you're hurting is yourself and your own life. Let God come in and take away all excuses to serve him. All excuses have to melt away when we look up at Calvary. All excuses. There's no excuse that can still linger in front of us if we look at the cross, because God paid the price for every hurt, every pain, every issue. And I know it's hard for us to let go of some things. That's when we say, God, I need you to come in and break me down. See, I love Chuck's humility and I love his heart. I love that he cries like a baby. I love that because it shows the sincerity of who he is. We don't need pretense, church. We need genuality. We need to come before God broken and admit we're broken and say, I need to be fixed. I know it's hard for us to admit we need to be fixed because we're trying to fix everybody else. Boy, if they could just. Look in the mirror. Look at them big old brown, look at your own big old brown eyes and tell me what you see. A work in progress and some issues that we let God deal with us on. I love what Jesus says. I love this. He says, you know, before you can get the beam out of your brother's eye, get the big old mote out of your own. Now look at this. What's a beam? Something small. A mote, something big. So before you get that little beam, before you worry about Von Seal not speaking to you, get the big old thing out of your own life. Did you speak to her? Boy, I love that. Pastor Dick Coleman didn't speak to me. Y'all call me. I mean, really? My son's been in Nebraska for a month. I think two of you asked about him. Just saying. We go through things too. You see this great pearly smile, wonderful, handsome, intelligent, high IQ, dynamic, talented, skilled preacher. As a kid said in the 90s, the bomb is up here right now, okay? The bomb. But you know what? Sometimes this bomb diffuses. And sometimes you see Tigger up here on Sundays. Woohoo! Woohoo! But other times of the week, I'm Eeyore. Nobody cares. Nobody loves me. Nobody's called me. Just like self-pity talking about you. Nobody cares. My son's 1,200 miles away. Nobody at church. He even hardly called and said, how's he doing? We know, is he doing good? And I miss him. And da-da-da-da. You know, he's only the preacher's kid. Been here for the whole 13 years, three times a week. But that's okay. Do what? I know. That's what I'm saying. I know. I need some cheese with that wine. Don't I? This is how we are. And so let's just be honest and let God heal that. Because all of us carry something. All of us have burdens. All of us have battles. All of us have strongholds. All of us have issues. We see Sunday morning. We see little Elizabeth. We're so glad she came from Moxville this morning to be with us this morning. Little Elizabeth, who's smiley and sweet, but she's got battles. Talk to her sometime. You'll find out she's got battles. And only God can heal some of those battles. So here is Saul. He's going to go arrest him. He's on the war path. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. He's almost where he's supposed to be. And suddenly, I love that word suddenly. You know what suddenly means? Just like that. You ever been going down 115 at night? All of a sudden you see something pop out in front of you? A deer. Do deers ever give you a heads up? Deer ahead. Slow down. You're going all of a sudden, oh my gosh. Then there's four more. Suddenly. You can't predict lightning. Lightning happens suddenly. You're sitting on your front porch. All of a sudden, pew, you jump. And you look again. You wait for it. And all of a sudden, pew, it happens again. Suddenly. I went in Ashley's room the other morning. She was still asleep. I got the door open, looking like a creeper. And I'm staring at her. And I was watching her. And all of a sudden, I guess she felt my presence. She woke up. Oh, God, Daddy! I was suddenly in her room. Suddenly means an instant. It means quick. It means you can't predict it. Suddenly. And so, all of a sudden, Saul's minding his own business, going to do his thing. He's got his agenda. I'm going to go arrest them Christians. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, with no prediction, something happened. Suddenly there shined a light from heaven. Wow, why would a light shine on this evil, sick, demented man? That's exactly right. It's a good point. To get his attention. He fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? What are you doing? Why would God speak to this lowly, evil, sinful person who's going against his word? Because he had a plan for him, because that wasn't what Paul was supposed to be doing. Saul had a whole different course God wanted him on, because God was calling him. God wanted to change his heart. See, church, till our heart changed, we're really not changed at all. And that's what salvation does. It changes our heart. See, I've said many times, you can't have pretend salvation. It's more than just a prayer or a confession even. Lord, I say to you, my Lord and Savior, blah, blah, blah. Amen, go on your way. That's all well and good. It's part of salvation. But if there's no change of heart, there's no change at all. Because when a person lets God change them, they truly are not the person they were before. That's why, as Rodney said, old things are passed away. All things become new. You're a different creature in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about we don't still have weaknesses and we don't mess up. I'm talking about our heart is just different. We just, you know what? Our appetite changes with Christ. There's things that we used to do. I don't want to do that no more. It's not who I am anymore. It's because God's changed you. That's a good thing. It's a good thing you're not normal anymore. I'm not like the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what we've been waiting on, right? That's what God's been waiting on. Don't be like the world. Be ye separate. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, because we're God's children. We should look different, we should walk different, and we should be different. And it all happens with a change of heart. Our heart's got to change. Some, as they get older, get more bitter. You know, we think some, you know, I used to always think, especially when I was a little younger, you know, oh, they're so old and cute, and I bet they're so sweet. And, you know, if you work in a nursing home, you find out all old people ain't sweet. Some of them get really ugly when they get older and get meaner and more bitter. Some of them throwing pans at the bed at you and trying to hit you and cussing at you. And Melanie's working in a nursing home. She knows. I mean, every old little person, looks aren't always what they appear. Oh, she says, sweet. I'm going to bleep, beep, 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 beep. Oh, okay. Okay. Now, I understand there's some mind issues with some of them. I'm talking about some are just mean old people. None of you are. But I'm just saying, there are some that are. And so, let God change our heart. See, we can't be something we're not. You know, you just can't be something until you have that transformation of being something different. And so Saul, the light shined, the voice spoke. He's asking a question. Why are you persecuting me? Saul says, who art thou? And the Lord says, I am Jesus, whom you persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's an odd translation. The pricks was an instrument used. Had a iron piece at the end of a stick. And they would use it to guide their oxen. They would poke the oxen to keep them steered in the right direction. And when the oxen would flinch against it or rebel against that prodding, it would go deeper in their flesh and make it harder on them. The more the ox rebelled, the more they got hurt. Isn't that a principle of life? The more we rebel, the more we get hurt, isn't it? I mean, I don't know why we want to do that. We want to rebel against what God's trying to get us to do, and we find out, I'm making it worse for my life. So he's saying, I'm trying to steer you in a different direction, but you're kicking against that. You're going against what I'm trying to get you to do. Why are you doing that? Because this is not the path I've chosen for you. I love this story because, church, if Saul can receive the grace of Christ, all of us can. I mean, Saul was not a nice man. I mean, we have some religious folks that say, oh, boy, you talk to God or use God's name in vain, you'll never be saved. Or, you know, you cuss God out because you were mad. Ooh, you're never going. Here's a man who hated the message, who was arresting people. Here's a man, church, as we would call it in the 21st century, I guess, aiding and abetting, or, how would the term be? Not conspiracy to murder. What would you call that term, legal term? Accessory, thank you. Stephen will be called an accessory to murder. You stood there. You were a part of it. You didn't stop it. You were an accessory to that. An accessory to murder, havoc in the church, arresting not just men, little women. He went and got little women and arrested them because they believed in this message. He was hardened. He was hateful. He was mean. But on the way, God says, watch this. Watch how powerful my spirit is. Watch how powerful my grace is. Watch how powerful my anointing is. It's going to change his whole world. I'm about to rock his world and change it forever. It says, Lord, this is, you know, who are you? And he answers back, why are you kicking against the pricks? Then he goes on to say, him trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would you have me do? Oh, what a change of heart. I want you to think about this scene. Think about the meanest person you know right now in your head. Don't call him by name and don't whisper it out loud. I might hear you. Just think about the meanest person you know. Think about a person that you think is hellbound and there's no escape. I mean, think about it this way. You know how we always say, boy, if anybody's in heaven, they were. Think the opposite right now. Think about somebody, boy, if anybody's going to hell, they are. Now picture that face in your mind. Then picture you go home today and you get a phone call from that person saying, I gave my heart to Jesus. I want to serve him. I will do anything God calls me to do. What would you do? Oh, some of you would be like, psh, sure, he's saved. Whatever. Psh. That's what some of you would do. Some of you would say, he's wanting something. What you want? How much money you need? You know, we didn't believe it at first until we saw the fruits. And then once we saw the fruits, be like, oh, boy, they have changed. Wow, they are different. I mean, understand this. You're probably not going to get to heaven when you're arrested Christians and talking about Jesus. Just saying. Not a good path into the kingdom. All of a sudden, the light shines. He speaks to Paul. And Paul's response now is, what will you have me do? That should be, church, our heart. God, what would you have me do? What do you want for my life? Many times we have a lot of wants, but really aren't what we need. You know, it's not what we need. And we'll find out that our needs being met is really what we want, because it's what God wants for us. God knows best. He sees our future. He knows what we need in that season. He knows what we need in that moment. We may think God's not hearing us, not answering our prayer. God ain't blessing us. God ain't moving, da-da-da-da-da. We got to understand something. God knows best. And if we'll trust God in every season we're in, trust him, he will never fail us. God doesn't fail, church. God doesn't make mistakes. You know, and I know we question God. All of us do. And I know some Christians' mouths will drop open when you say that. We all question God from time to time. Why? Don't understand. We prayed for that person, laid hands on that person, anointed that person with oil, prayed in our heavenly language, we prophesied, we spoke words of life, duh, 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 and they still died. Why, God? All I know is this. I trust God more than I trust anything on the earth I could ever do. I trust God more. I know it doesn't make sense sometimes. We can be angry with that, or we can become bitter with that, or many people use that excuse not to follow God or believe in God because, well, I lost my child, lost my mom, lost my, you know, daughter, lost my wife, lost my husband, and I'm mad at God. Well, don't be mad at the one that loved you so much that he gave you a chance to live forever. He's the only way we can live forever, church. He's the only way we can live forever. Because none of us are good enough to go to heaven, believe me, on our works. None of us can make it on our own merit. I don't care how holy we think we are, we're not going to make it by all of our works. But we will make it by the one work that Jesus did on the cross. Hebrews tells us he went in one time, once and for all, to obtain, to get, to gain eternal redemption for us. That's what Christ did. That's why we celebrate Jesus. That's why he's such a big deal. That's why he's the biggest rock star of all time, Jesus our Lord. We got men trying to be rock stars, women trying to be rock stars, people trying to be. It's Jesus who everything should point to as getting all the praise and all the glory. It's Jesus. I'm not going to die on a cross for you. I'm too chicken. I don't even like needles. Are you kidding me? I'm going to get nails. I love you, but not that much. Christ did and does. And he endured that course. And guess what? He died for old Saul too. He died for Saul. Boy, how can you imagine? Now, think about this. You're God. Joe Brown is God. Usually I'm God, but I won't be God today. Joe Brown's going to be God today. All right. Paul is walking down the road to Damascus, going to arrest Christians. And here's Joe Brown, if he was God. What would he do? Would he have stopped him to have saved him? Or would Joe say, watch this. This is a good Ohio trick right here. Hey, Saul, feel that? There's more where that came from. You still want to persecute me? You still don't believe in me? I mean, what? If we were God, wouldn't we? You'd be like, yeah, I'll show you who, you know, No, that's not the God we... Our God showed so much mercy and love and grace. I mean, he didn't even really fuss at Saul. He just said, why are you kicking against what I've called you to do? He didn't say, you old, nasty, dying, hell-bound, fire-slinging, pitchfork devil, heathen. Look unto me who comes your help. Do you want to be saved or do you want to burn forevermore? No, he didn't say that. He simply spoke to his heart and put so much love in that moment, that sudden moment, that Paul's response was, what would you have me do? See, I'm a true believer in this. I always have been. Ever since I've been pastoring, I've never preached the message of hate or the damnation message. Absolutely, I believe you must be born again. But I believe the love of Christ draws people much more than the fear of God. Of being, you know, ooh, the bomb's going to drop out. Church, you can scare a lot of people into making false professions. I mean, if I had a big old rattlesnake up here, and I said, Linda, do you like rattlesnakes? No. Well, if you don't say you don't like, I'm going to throw it on you. Oh, I like it, I like it. Does she really like rattlesnakes? No. I scared the dickens out of her. Of course she's going to say, yeah, I love them. I love rattlesnakes. I love them. I'll kiss it and hold it and love it all over because I love rattlesnakes. Just don't throw it on me. Just don't throw it on me. I mean, we can do a lot of that's not a real conversion. A real conversion is she has to fall in love with a rattlesnake. She has to be watching a documentary one day, and all of a sudden it just speaks to her heart. Oh, the poor rattlesnakes are getting killed. They're not that bad looking. And they provide a service for the culture and the community and the ecosystem and, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. They're just curled up in their little hole trying to just survive and eat the lizards or rabbits or whatever. And God made them too. And she has to fall in love with them. Do any of you love rattlesnakes?
No.
Okay. Just ask. I'll put it back up. Hang on. I'll put it back up. Anyway, God didn't deal that. God could have said, Saul, if you don't stop, I'm sending you straight to hell. Okay. But that wouldn't have been a real conversion. You know what a real conversion was? That God thought enough of Saul in his rebellious, mean-spirited, nasty ways to call him to serve him. Think about that. That's when the blinders really come off. Think about it. Chuck, you've shared some of your past and still you're on a road of battles and struggles and you're trying to do the best to serve God. Think about if God had left you where you were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, just left you there. It never passed your way. Think about, see, he didn't look at your struggles and your past and the things that in your life that you're not proud of and says, that disqualifies you. Can't use you, disqualifies you. But he came to you too and spoke to your heart and said, I got more for you than what you've been. And I've got a lot better road for you than where you've traveled. That's what God does. We don't even do that to ourselves. There are so many people that will judge each other and, you know, well, they shouldn't be singing. They shouldn't be taking up the offering. They shouldn't be doing this. If you knew how they lived, let's follow you around. Let's see what we can catch on. Let's see what CNN can find on your skeletons. And there's something. There are moments we're not proud of. There are moments we don't want aired on national TV. That is for sure, and I have plenty of them. I do not want them because we know how the media is. They would take the little negative things and promote that. They wouldn't see me feeding the poor. They wouldn't see me in the monks, you know, doing my peace prayer. They wouldn't see that. They would see when I yelled at my wife, knocked my kid upside the head, talked about one of y'all. That's what they would see. They wouldn't see the good stuff. That's how it is. So God doesn't disqualify us because we're not following him now. Man, God can draw any heart. He can change any life if we will let him come in here. Church, I believe there is a day coming for all people. This earth's going to pass away as we know it, as far as the things of this realm. And we will be living with God forevermore, or we won't. And God has given us a clear choice. Will you let me come in and change your heart? Because I love you. I love you. Through what you've been, I love the part of that song, even in my sin, he died for me then. Knowing. Do you realize when he hung on that cross, gave up the ghost, cried out, it is finished, before he died. Saul had not had this experience yet, of course. This was some 60-some years or so after Christ was crucified. But he knew he would be there. He knew he'd be persecuted. He knew people would defame his name, denounce it. But yet he died for Saul, this bad man that we would give up on. That if we were God, we'd just zap him dead. You don't mess with my God, I'll just show you who the boss is. We just do that, but not God. He said, I got a plan for you. He said, Lord, what'd you have me do? He said, arise, go to the city, and it shall be told of you what to do. So he does. He arises. The men with him journeyed. They were speechless. They heard a voice, but they saw no man. God still speaks today to us if we'll listen. He can speak clearly to us. And I think we know that. You know, when you have to ask someone, should I be doing this? You probably shouldn't, right? It's a good rule of thumb. When you call someone, hey, I've been invited here, or somebody told me, you know, I'll go here, or, well, I do this sometimes at home. Is that wrong? Well, I mean, you're asking. Yeah, that's just a good rule of thumb. So if you're battling something that you think you're trying to cover up with, well, it ain't no big deal. It's just, well, you're making a big deal, so it must be a big deal, right? So they saw no man. Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blinded. Saul was physically blinded at this moment. He could not see. His sight had been removed. But there's a reason for this. You know, a lot of times we got to really be in the darkness before we know there's a light. We got to be in a place sometimes of destitution before we know we need reconciliation. We got to be in a place sometimes of so much not depending on us to where we depend on God again. You know, when things are good, we don't depend on God as much. None of us do. I mean, really think about it. I bet people pray less on payday the other day of the week. I mean, I don't know. Think about it. It's payday. Do we think about God much? We're going out to eat. We're buying some clothes. We're paying our bills. We're, you know, doing whatever with our money. But then about a week and a half into it or a week later, oh, God, I got to have a bill paid. Help me. It's just human nature. When things are going good, we just don't seem to depend on God as much. We're healthy. Well, hey, I feel good. I ain't got to pray for healing. I've got money in the bank. I got to pray for money. You know, my car's working. Praise God. I even got a Jeep. It's still running. Hallelujah. I ain't, you know, got to pray for that. Everything's good. My wife still loves me. She kissed me twice this year. Things are still rolling good. I mean, it's wonderful. You know, my kids are growing up and they're healthy and, you know, they're doing their thing and, you know, life's good. So, you know, what we just don't depend on. But when we're in a place of darkness, when we're in a place of hopelessness, we seem to turn to God a lot more then. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, church. Some people tell you you don't have enough faith or it's faithless. It's not faithless. That's what God wants, for us to turn to Him. You know, God never wants us to come to such a point spiritually where we're like, I've arrived, God. I'm good. Help Chris. He needs a lot of help. I'm good. Just go to him. I'm good. Just, you can go to him 3 times a week. Leave me alone. No, we all need God, church, every day. Like that song, every day I need you, Lord, every moment, every hour. God, we need you. Church, we don't know all the evil and dangers that are around us. We don't even see sometimes that God protects us from. I think it's important we pray over our homes at night. We pray over our children daily. We pray over our marriages daily. We pray over our health and our money. We pray over things in our life. We give that to God all the time. We need to depend on God. But when things are good and we're on the mountaintop, sometimes we forget to call on God quite as much because things are, but boy, the first, you know, here's something I don't understand. And I want to encourage each of you in this area, in case you've ever thought about this. It seems like when folks, at least in this church, the last 13 years, when they're going through a personal problem or a battle hits them, they stop coming to church. I don't understand that. They just stop coming to church. And they say, well, I'm just going through something. Ain't that when you need to be here? I mean, you know, if I'm sitting here choking on chicken bone, I don't need a doctor. I'm going through something. I'm good. Leave me alone. My God, somebody call 911. Get them there. So I'll call people. I'll say, look, I know you haven't been here in 3-4 months. You know, look, what's going on? Well, I'm just going through some things. I'll get back when I get straightened out. What's going to straighten you out? You can't straighten yourself out. I can't even wear the right pants. I bought some pants on this morning, church, okay? And I didn't recognize. I got to church. I had mustard on down one of them. So I have to text Melanie, can you bring me some black pants? And that's what I was doing when you walked to my office. I was changing clothes. Like, I got to get these mustard pants off. I need help, church. So, I mean, really? We need God's help. So, if you're going through a problem, don't forsake the church. That's where you need the most to hear the good news that God loves you and that we love you and that there's hope for tomorrow because God lives forevermore. Don't discount hearing that news. So anyway, I don't know why I went with all that, but that's where I went. All right, verse 9. He was there 3 days without sight. So he was 3 days blind, Saul was. He did not eat, nor did he drink anything, so he was on a fast. There was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here. Now God's speaking to Ananias, another person. He said, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. So go ask about this guy, for behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him, and he might receive his sight. God's working both ends of the candlestick here. Then Ananias answered. Now look, here's our first human response. This is how we would respond, most of us. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon your name. Think about his human reaction. You want me to go pray for a man who's an evil, nasty man, who hates you, who's arresting our people in our community, who's against your message, and you really want me to pray for him? Are you kidding me? Remember what Jesus says to bless those that persecute you, to love your enemies? It's like heaping coals upon their head. Boy, I tell you, I say this many times, the best way to get the hell out of someone is to love it out of them. Love it out of them. They can't get away from that. You're not going to gain anything by preaching at them, persecuting them, putting them down. Don't you know what you need? Don't you know what you need? I really don't. Just show them what they need. Love them and be there for them and understand when we are dealing with mean, nasty people, it's not them, it's what's inside them. And I realized that. I was at a gas station pretty close by, and it was on a Sunday morning, and stopped to get me a thing of Cottwell cappuccino before service, and there's a woman in there, and I've seen her in there several times working. I said, "You work every Sunday?" "Yeah." Real quick, and I was dressed up like this, and I said, "Well, it must be bad you work every Sunday." "Nah, I don't mind." Okay. Just real quick, real nasty, and I'm like, okay. And she's like, I mean, heaven forbid I invite her to church. I mean, is that the thing she's scared of? That, oh, I don't want this guy in a tie asking me to church. I mean, I was just, making conversation. I mean, I wasn't about to baptize her. I just was ask her a conversation. Crazy. So she wasn't there this morning. Another guy was there, but I was like, my Lord. So I might come in next time saying, "Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord." I don't know, I wouldn't do that. That would be vindictive. I'm just saying. I feel like doing it. I told Christian about that. Christian, she may have thought she was hitting on her. I said, "Look, what guy uses a line? You work every Sunday?" That's not a hit line. I mean, really? My hit line would be like, "Hey, you want to go out?" It's pretty obvious. I mean, I work every Sunday. So anyway, that wasn't it. I felt her spirit that there was, I was dressed up and you work every Sunday. I must be bad. Oh, no, I'm on. Okay, leave you alone, whatever. But anyway, he hath authority to call upon. Oh, yeah, the deal was, he's like, "Lord, you want me to pray for this man? Are you serious? He's been mean." But look what God says. The Lord says, "Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel." Oh, my God. He's chosen. How can a man that's spewing out such poison be a chosen vessel? Because God can change any heart. He can change any life. Man, he can take any gruffness, any anger, any bitterness, any rebellion. God can lift that out of your heart, and he can make you the sweetest, most humble, transformed life ever if we let him in. But we just sometimes don't want to let him in. Remember what Revelation says? "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will open it, I'll come in and I'll sit with him. I'll sup with him," the Bible says, which means I'll sit, I'll dine, I'll you'll be at my table. Just let me in. Just when he knocks, just let him in. And you may be saved today, but you still got a lot of issues that you're hard about. And so you're not experiencing the full grace of God in your heart because you're angry about something, you're bitter about something, you're mad at somebody, you're unforgiving towards someone, and that's affecting your spiritual walk with God. Let him come in and just melt that heart. Let him change it. He says he's chosen to bear my name before the Gentiles. And look at this, and the kings. The same high priest he got authority to arrest on now going to be the kings he goes to and tells them about Jesus. That's a transformation. And the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And we know Paul suffered. And Ananias went his way. He entered the house. He put his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul," isn't that awesome? Brother. Brother Saul. He didn't call him any bad names. He said, "Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus, that hath appeared unto you in the way as you camest, has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes. When I read this verse, I thought about Bob so much. Immediately they fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight, he arose, and he was baptized. The blindness of his dark heart gave way to the light of his changed heart. That's what Jesus does. Church, don't carry that heart around, that anger, that bitterness, that unforgiveness. That it's only burning you. It's affecting your walk with God. God can change your heart this morning. In closing, I want to open up the altar today, and I want just to invite you, each of you, that you need to give your heart to the Lord, really give it to him. And understand this, Jesus is Lord and Savior, which means that he saves us from our sins, but he also becomes Lord of our life. There's a difference. Lord of our life means all of us, all of our life belongs to him. Is he the Lord of our life, or is he the Lord of convenience, or the Lord when we need him, or has he really become the Lord of our life? If you have a heavy heart today, if you're burdened, if you just need God to heal, need God to touch, you just You just need something inside to transform in your life. You need something. I want to open up the altar just for a minute and give you a chance to respond to that. Play that last song I got real low. It's just some music. But this altar is more than just a piece of wood that I stand on to minister the gospel. This turned out a little bit more. You leave that on, that's fine. This altar, church, is to bring our offering to God. Our offering. Our offering of our praise, our offering of our heart, our offering of our life. It's a place we come. The temple worship was so powerful and so sacred in the Old Testament. So sacred. As they would bring their blood sacrifices and offer it unto God as part of their worship. We don't do that today, of course not, but we do bring ourselves and we offer it. So music's playing for a minute. I just want to open up the altar. And if you want to just talk to God for a minute, please come up here and just talk to Him. Just talk to Him and get off your chest what you need to get off this morning. And let him do a work in your heart. Because until our heart changes, our life won't change. Until our heart changes, nothing changes. God, I pray with this congregation that they will be led by You this morning. That You will speak to those hearts to come and just talk to You. To give up the stuff they're holding on to let it go, hurts or pains or frustrations or fears or even rebellion, that God, You'll melt the hearts and remove the scales off their eyes, that they will see clearly how much You love them. They will see clearly Your grace and Your mercy for them. They will see clearly that as You died for Saul, You died for them. There is no heart You can't heal. There's no life You can't change. There's no mind You can't restore. There is no steps You can't ordain. And I pray, Lord, for hearts here, they will just come and find refuge this morning in this place of worship. As Your presence is here, as Your anointing is here right now, Lord, just draw Your people, Jesus. Just draw them, Father. There's hope for us, Jesus, no matter what we've done or what we've been. There's hope for us. We thank You, Lord, that You dispel our darkness and You show us light of what life really is, life in You. Forgive us, Lord, of our rebellious ways. Forgive us of our selfish appetites. Forgive us, Jesus, of all the times we do our thing with no regard to what Your Word says or what You would have us do. We want to follow Your Spirit, Lord, because Your Spirit always leads to truth. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, You are Lord and God of all creation. And we thank You this world's not the end for us, that Your kingdom awaits all Your saints to enter into a greater spiritual place where there is no more sin, no more sorrow, no more fear, no more death in the flesh. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Just heal our hearts today. Heal our hearts, Lord. I want to lift up Pat right now, Lord, and just heal her heart. She's had a great loss. Just bring healing and give her good memories, God, of all the years, of all the goodness of her life. As we celebrate a dear friend, Lord, who's already crossed a plane we've not yet crossed. He's crossed the Jordan a way we've not yet seen. And He's celebrating forever with You, Lord. Precious are the death of Your saints in the eyes of God. For You know what awaits us. You know what You have prepared for us. I just pray for Pat. We just lift her up today, Jesus. Help her. Strengthen her. If there's anyone here today that you've not made Jesus your Lord, you've been playing games, or you haven't been sure. You really want to seal that. You're like, Lord, I know I need to make You my Lord. Please listen to that voice this morning. And let Him remove your scales and say, God, I give You my life. I give You my life today. I want to leave here changed. I really want to leave here knowing I've been born again. It's just letting Jesus know you believe in Him and you confess Him as your Lord and Savior. And come in, Lord, and change my heart. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, to feel His presence. Church, I'm going to say something bold here. I think every one of us that have made Him our Lord and Savior should be able to feel His presence. If we don't feel His presence, I think we need to talk to God a little more. We should feel His presence. Resume for You to love us. We don't have to do certain things to gain favor, God. It's not the gospel preaching. You says, come and I will give You rest. My burden is light. You said, come and drink of Me and you'll never thirst again. God, that is so true. You quench the thirst the world can't ever feel. You satisfy us in a way the world can never do. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. You're worthy of our praise in this place today, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our praise. Thank You, Lord. Lord, thank You for Your presence with us today. Thank You. Spirit being in this place. Thank You for healing, for strength, for encouragement from Your word. Let us not be ashamed or afraid or too weak, God, to say we need You. For when we are weak, then we are strong. When we admit we can't do it without You, then You show up and You do it for us. Bless Your people today, Jesus. Bless each and every one of them. Touch every heart, touch every mind, touch every life, touch every face. As Your Holy Spirit is here, cover this sanctuary with Your glory. That we leave here, Lord, every one of us leave here a little bit changed, a little bit different. Because we've had an encounter on the road to Damascus ourselves this day. We give You honor and we give You all glory. You are the one Lord and God and Savior of the world. Give You that praise and glory in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.